Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodie, and I am your host, and I have a very special show for you this week. And it's an exciting show because I got to sit down with Allison and Steve Sheridan, and we talked about the benefits of tactile buttons, the benefits of screens, and how to make the in-car experience better. I'm going to give you a little tip off. Steve nailed it, so I don't want to give it away. But Steve nailed it. Bart Bouchatz and I, when he was on the show, we actually talked about this a little bit. Bart said that some car manufacturers put a bunch of buttons and dials and stuff in their mouth, and then they do a spit take, and wherever those buttons land on the dash, that's where they put them. There's no rhyme or reason to it. I described it as vomiting buttons. But Steve, Allison, and I, we sat down and just discussed what makes the most amount of sense. So let's go ahead and welcome Steve and Allison to the show.
Thank you, Bodie.
Hey, Bodie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It feels like it's been forever since we've chatted. I wanted to discuss an interesting Slate article that Allison recently shared with me, and it's all about automakers switching back from touchscreen controls to tactile controls in cars. Touchscreens have been a pretty common feature in terms of the dashboard design. Even my 2018 minivan has a touchscreen. For a little bit there, it seemed like we were leaning more towards touchscreen and those tactical buttons were going to disappear. But it turns out that some users feel that not having those tactile buttons could be a safety issue. It can be frustrating to only use the touchscreen. So I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So why don't we start off with Allison? Before you bought a Tesla, you drove a vehicle with actual buttons and things like that. What was your experience driving from all controls to all touchscreen?
Yeah, I have so many different feelings about this, all the feels. So one of the things I love about the Tesla is when you look at it, it just looks like a spaceship. You basically just have a dash with a big screen and there's nothing else. There's no buttons, no dials. You've got a few things on the steering wheel, which are really important things. I can stop and start a podcast, fast forward, rewind. I can turn on my windshield wipers once I found them. It doesn't rain enough here in California, so for a long time I didn't know where they were. The first time it rained when I was driving, it was like, oh my gosh, I never even thought to look for where they are. So that was a little bit harder. But one of the big things I've learned is that, well, I change the temperature in a car all the time. I'm too hot, too cold, too hot, too cold, too hot, too cold. The advent of having two controls in a car was the only thing that kept Steve having his sanity, because I was always turning my temperature up and down, up and down. And having a dial or a button or something tactile to do that, it, to me, is absolutely critical. On the Tesla, I have to look not only over, but down to the bottom left of the screen in order to see where to tap to change the temperature. And since I'm doing it all the time, you'd think I'd be getting good at hitting that, and I'm not. I definitely have to look away from the screen to do it. Now, I was talking to Stephen Getz about this, and he's a buddy of mine in Canada that I talk to about cars and things like that and tech stuff all the time. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about, Allison. I set my temperature in my car one day when I got it, and I've never changed it. So I would never need that on the touchscreen. Well, later on, we were talking about the brightness of the speedometer of the display. And I said, well, I've never changed the brightness of the display on my car before or since, before I texted. He goes, Allison, I change it all the time. So maybe what I need to be on a tactile button isn't what you need to have on a tactile button, isn't what Steven needs to have on a tactile button. So I think that's how you end up with 4,000 buttons, and then the car looks all nasty, and you got all these buttons, and it's ugly.
Yeah. I have thoughts to share about that, but I want to get Steve's thoughts first.
Yeah. So I am a believer that a certain amount of tactile buttons makes sense just for ease of use and keeping the eyes on the road. And I do appreciate Tesla's drive towards minimalism in the dash and the controls, but I think they've gone a little too far for my liking. And there are some buttons that I wish were more tactile and are not. It's not just buttons. It's also the degree of control the user has, but this can be related. Like wiper control, I had better control in my Acura RDX than I do with Tesla. Tesla wants it to be automated. And it's choice of
what do you mean by automated?
It detects when there's rain on the windshield, and it determines whether it should be on and how fast the wiper should go, or whether they should be intermittent. I would rather select that myself, because Tesla doesn't always make the right choice, at least one I agree with. But back to the buttons, yeah, I think Tesla has gone too far, and I would like to see a few more buttons to be tactile. But that gets back to Allison's point, which buttons? The ones I care about might be different. And that maybe gets to a point, maybe the tactile buttons should be selectable. You can put, here's a set of five buttons, and you can assign them to be the things you want, you care as most important.
Oh, that's interesting.
You just gave me chills. I don't know if you can see the hair on my arm standing up, Steve, but you got it. I was going to say, I'm going to sit down with Bart Bouchotts here soon, hopefully. Oh, and we're going to talk about some of these things with these vehicles. But I've been looking at, and we talked about this a little bit, I've been looking at the Ioniq 6, the Ioniq 5, and the Genesis GV60. Now, I'm not going to buy a Genesis GV60 because that car starts at $70,000, but I've been looking at them, and each one of those cars are basically the same car, right? They just have some different features, different outside, but the interior of all of those cars are very similar, and they have these cool little haptic buttons underneath the screen. And I don't see why you wouldn't be able to change that to something that is, you know, instead of the radio, you push this button and now you have the heat on this one because that makes more sense to you. I don't see why you couldn't do that because they should be programmable. That is absolutely 100% something these automakers should be doing.
So a haptic is different, though. Haptic is if you touched it and did something with it, then it lets you know. You need to know is that it's even there.
Maybe tactile.
Well, you can, it's got little, I don't know if it's Braille, because I wouldn't be able to recognize it as Braille if it was, but it does have a texture on it when you run your finger across it. And it is it's right below the screen. So at the very minimum, you're not going to turn the radio up, but you can bring the radio up so that you could turn it up. Or if you have that feature on your dashboard, you bring the radio up and then you can turn it up on the wheel that's on your steering wheel, not your dashboard, excuse me.
What's important to me is if when you touch the button, you know you've touched it without looking at it and you get some sort of feedback that you've engaged the button. You've pressed it.
So before you engage it and as you've engaged it.
Right.
Those are two separate things, right?
Right. Your finger's in the right spot. You can feel the button before you do anything. You know your finger's in the right button or on a button. And when you press it, you know you've pressed it. That's what's important.
I'm not sure I believe that a haptic button could really do that. But then again, I use a lot of haptics on my Apple devices, but I don't have to be precise with where I am on those.
Didn't you just do a whole podcast recently about the MacBook haptic touchpad?
Yes.
I don't want to pull that out, but.
Well, that's what I was just thinking about it when I said that, was the fact that the MacBook trackpad is haptic, but the trackpad's like 3 inches across and 2 inches tall, and anywhere I click on it, it's still haptic. I don't have to find it.
But you could still have a raised area on a screen, something that had a physical presence without being electronic. That you could touch it. And then when you did touch it, it did something. So that's kind of combining a physical rough surface or
maybe a circular raised donut.
Your
finger went into.
And then it either depresses and clicks, or it does give you some electronic haptic feedback.
I'm liking that.
I like this is okay. So any automaker that's listening to this, please come to us. We will sell this idea to you very cheaply.
but here's the reason it won't work in a Tesla, because every time they update it, they move stuff around.
Yeah.
The garage door button has moved about four times, mm-hmm. I think, at least three, maybe four times where it is. And what it says has changed. So every time you do an update, you're like, oh, man, where did they put it now? It's actually in a really good spot now. It's up near the top, and it's super easy to tap. It's got a good touch target. That one works pretty well. But the windshield wiper one, man, I did finally figure out if you push in on the windshield wiper stock, that'll engage the windshield wipers. And when you do that, a double secret menu of buttons comes up that lets you choose between, slow, medium, and fast on the windshield wiper. But you can't get to, that we know of, you can't engage that screen unless you've already told it to turn on the windshield wipers.
Interesting. You know, I mentioned this before we started recording, but Sierra and I are going to drive all three of the vehicles that I mentioned before, mm-hmm. and I'm going to perform what's going to be called from here on for the rest of eternity as the Sheridan test, and I'm going to test those buttons and see if that's something, and I'm going to tell Sierra to do it. I'm not going to tell her what she's doing, so I won't even be a biased subject. She'll be a completely unbiased subject. I will have her make those changes and see if she feels comfortable while she's doing it.
Now, to be pure, we need it's got to be the Sheridan-Getz test, because now you need okay. you need to do temperature up down, you need to do change the winch wiper speed, and you need to change the brightness of the display.
What about the radio or podcast or something?
Somebody doesn't listen to the radio on this show.
Okay.
Nope.
Radio is a bad term.
I will use radio.
Do we have a radio?
Yeah, but we don't listen FM? To it. But a podcast or streaming music or something like
so
that.
So that is all on the steering wheel with the Tesla. So at least they've given us that one.
With actual buttons. These aren't displays.
To be fair, there's about 30 pages of voice controls you can give to the Tesla. And I haven't tried those lately. I know they used to be able to say to the Tesla, press the right scrolly button. You could say turn the temperature up. But it would turn it up like 3 degrees. And I wanted a degree at most, you know?
Yeah. So first, I'm gonna restate the Sheridan-Getz test, because I want to make sure I got it right. Temperature up and down, radio or whatever, up and down, windshield wiper on and off.
No, I don't care about the radio. The Getz part is the display brightness.
Oh, display brightness. Oh, that's
yeah. And the use case he gives is he ends up on backcountry roads. We're never out of streetlights because we live in Southern California. He is, and so he wants to turn the brightness of the display down when he's on a backcountry road.
Okay, so all right, on to the voice options. The problem with Tesla Voice, you're right, is everybody that I know that has a Tesla tried it a couple times and hasn't used it after mm-hmm. that. I always thought, do you remember SoundHound? This was it was a digital assistant that you could get on your iPhone right around the time Siri came out, 2016 or so. It was after, but before Siri was good. And SoundHound, this assistant, at that time you could ask it a question, and then you could ask it a follow-up question, and it knew mm-hmm. the original question you asked. And then they actually stopped developing an app. And now, turns out they do develop an app still. Now they are into, they've been in cars, they're into some smart speakers. There's a thing on their website somewhere of all the things that they do. But the biggest thing is I always thought that Tesla would be better off implementing a third-party system like SoundHound or it's just called Hound now, I think, rather than try one on their own, just because they, I don't think they have enough engineers.
They'll get on that right after they give us CarPlay, Bodie.
And slightly after FSD. On the roadmap, it's CarPlay, FSD, and SoundHound.
So the main thing I want to get across is I absolutely do think that the lack of tactile buttons for certain features is a safety hazard. I think it's a problem. I know when I'm changing that temperature, I'm looking away for a lot longer than I'm comfortable with. But I also can't stand being uncomfortable by temperature, so I do it anyway. They have done some things when they're messing around with the display to make it safer, though. Like they moved... It used to be the speed limit and your speed was over real far on the right above the maps, and they moved that way over to the far left side. So you can see you have a lot more information on the left side of our screen. Oh, and I should say the 3 and the Y have a portrait, a landscape mode screen. So it's wider than it is tall. And so we have two panels. The right two-thirds is the maps, and the left one-third is the other information about the secret hidden windshield wiper control and the speed limit and that sort of thing. But if you've got an X or an S, you have another display that's in front of you, and you've got a vertical display. So you've got a small display in front of you that gives you a lot of the actionable information. It's not a touchscreen, but it gives you information that I think is a lot better placed. I would love to have that right in front of me instead of just nothing, which is what we have.
So all I think of our perspective is Model 3 and Model Y.
Yeah, but that means you're looking, 20, 30 degrees to the right all the time. You're never looking forward when you're looking at the Tesla display.
Yeah, and I know there's some mods that you can use to put another screen there to show instrument display stuff, but that's not something I'd really want to tackle just because I don't want to void my warranty, and Tesla's not known for being super lenient on that stuff. Mm-hmm. So going forward, obviously Tesla's not going to retroactively put any buttons and knobs in your vehicle. So how does Tesla or other companies that do this kind of thing, how do they make this better for you in the current vehicles you have? Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, they could improve their voice commands.
We haven't tested it in like 2 years.
Yeah,
to
that's
be fair.
True. We probably should do that again because that's easily updatable through software, unlike these buttons.
I started laughing because my father owned Ford Galaxy 500s. That's what they were called.
Nice.
And they had the worst horn design you've ever seen in your life. They basically put it in an inner ring on the inside of the steering wheel. So in order to honk the horn, you had to squeeze with your fingertips, which is not a natural reaction in an emergency situation. You want to just go bam with your fist in the middle of the screen, right, with your palm. And it was a terrible, terrible design. My dad hated it from the day he got the cars. And one day it broke on one of the cars. My father just, he would always say he hated working on, the only thing he hated working on more than cars was working on automobiles. Hated it without, he fixed anything, but he hated working on cars. So he, this thing broke, and he had said, if one more thing breaks on this car, I'm getting rid of it. But he found a solution. He had a black button that was like an inch square with a big white circular button sticking up out of it. So a black thing with a big white button, and it had connected wires to it. And he went and got a piece of walnut and carved the inside of it so that it was the shape of the steering column. And he black electrical taped this thing to the side of the steering column and wired it into the horn so that all we had to do was reach down and smash it with our hand. So Tesla could do that. It's a long way around, but I brought it home, right?
No, that was worth the time, worth the funny. That a similar thing on the fire truck that I drive, the horn stopped working. So somebody took off the little cap and they put a little electric button in there. One of our guys did, another engineer did, and then he put it back. So instead of honking the horn, you just push a little black button in the middle and it'll honk the horn about 30% of the time. A little bit of the time it doesn't work. So I got to my captain on the other side, he has a horn. So I have to say beep, 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 and he'll honk the horn for me.
Oh, man. That's reliable.
So you're using voice control is what you're saying.
And I'm telling somebody that historically doesn't like to be told what to do exactly what I want him to do. So it works out.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah. All right. I think this is wrap. I think we did good.
I
like your idea, Steve, of self-assigning buttons. Mm-hmm. I think that is by far the biggest thing that anyone should take away out of this as being a brilliant idea.
Good job, Steve.
Well, I'll take it.
Awesome. Allison and Steve, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you?
Well, the best way to find me is at podfeet.com. Everything good starts with podfeet.com. You can find my podcast there. You can follow me on Mastodon at podfeet at chaos.social.
And you can find me on YouTube at Steve Sheridan or SP Sheridan and on Mastodon at SP Sheridan at astrodon.social.
Excellent. Can we find Stephen Getz anywhere since we already talked about him?
He's Stephen Getz on, or actually, is he Goatman? What is he on Twitter? I forget. I think it's Goatman.
Well, if he's not Goatman,
but I don't go on Twitter
Goatman's
anymore.
Goatman's gonna get a shocker.
The vast hordes of followers here are gonna be looking him up right now.
He'll literally get no followers from this podcast.
If you like F1. That's what he's really into.
No, he sent me an article just recently on F1 and how they're bringing that back down to that technology back down to EVs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, folks. I don't know how to end this, so we'll just immediately cut it off here.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ah, I really enjoy hanging out with those two. They're so much fun. All right, I have a question for you folks, a little bit of homework. What did you think of Steve's thought or suggestion that the person who bought the car should be able to assign the functions to the buttons? Like maybe they come with a default setting, right? But for whatever reason, it makes more sense for you to hit X button and it to do Y function, right? It doesn't make sense the way the manufacturer thought of it. And if cars are getting smarter and they can do that for touchscreens, it seems like that be something done for actual tactile buttons as well. So I thought it was great. After this conversation that we had, which was back in May, I think it was even before I got my Tesla, I was playing around with my car a week and a half ago or so. And I told everybody about this on the podcast, but there's a feature now where you can change the function of the left scroll wheel. So if you long press the left scroll wheel on the steering wheel, it'll bring up an option. Mine's defaulted to change the temperature, but you can change fan speed. You can change the display brightness. It's a really neat feature and well thought out. All right, everybody, that is it for me this week. Please make sure to go and subscribe to my other podcast, Shuffle Playlist, if you haven't already. Right now, the latest episode is For an Old Kentucky Anarchist by The Orphans, which I will classify as folk punk, one of my favorite songs in the world. I just love this song. I listen to it almost every single day. The next episode will be a listener suggested song by Chip, and I'm still not going to give away which song it is or if Chris and I enjoyed it. And the episode we have planned after that is a behind the scenes episode where we just talk about all of the things that we did behind the scenes. We talk about our podcast download numbers, the whole bit. We go through each and every episode. Total transparency. All right, everybody, that is it for me today. I will talk to you on Friday. Oh, and Friday's episode will actually be the Lordstown earnings call. All right, everybody, have a good week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.